What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And I want to read you a couple of emails that came in during the commercial break. According to an article on Yahoo Finance, Dina Powell from Goldman Sachs is under consideration to replace Nikki Haley. And then I have this other email, the caller questioning the state of the economy. Has he been to the grocery store lately? I'm on Social Security and can barely make ends meet. The economy is on a downward spiral. You and Dustin are right. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about technology. And apparently tech workers in Silicon Valley are starting to realize they have a voice. Now, we know that management of these Silicon Valley companies are feeling their oats. They're multimillionaires, if not billionaires, and they feel the control they have over the information flow among people. But some of their workers aren't all that happy. And right now, tech workers are in demand. These Silicon Valley companies, it's easier for them to raise cash than to find good engineers, even with the H-1B. And so workers have bargaining power, and they're using it. You had the uprising over at Google, over that Pentagon, what they called the baby killer project, and a Chinese surveillance project, to Microsoft's uprising over contracts with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Tech workers are emerging as part of the solution. Now, it's part of a wider movement to formulate an ethical basis for technical work and a sense among established and new engineers that their work has an all-important ethical dimension, and it certainly does. You know, we're seeing with all this surveillance and all this manipulation and all this filtering, and a good example here, a story that just came on in, apparently a British regulator says that criticizing speed cameras on the radio violates the broadcast rules. Can't get much more Orwellian than that. You know, tell them happy news. Don't tell them, you know, about the war and surveillance and corruption. You know, tell them about kittens and butterflies and flowers and fun stuff like that. Okay, Apple iPhone users, iPhone XS users are going to be delighted to learn that Apple has issued an update to iOS that fixed the bug that left some users unable to charge their phones if the screen was off. Apparently, it was a fast fix, and they got it on out there. It's iOS version 12.01 to address the issue. So they finally got that one done. Again, showing the double standard that we have for corporate social media. Alex Jones is now on a lifetime ban from Twitter for telling off a CNN reporter at a public event. Okay. Meanwhile, there's another Twitter user, Annie Shields, who is out there on Twitter setting up a group to follow Jeff Flake around to every restaurant, cafe, store he goes to for the rest of his life and yell at him. And Twitter is apparently fine with that. They're perfectly okay with that. Amazing. Now, a few days ago, there was this big story about how there were these four Russian spies that were arrested for cyber attacks and so forth. And Russia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs is dismissing the accusations and said the Dutch authorities had overreacted in detaining these four Russian officers. And apparently these four GRU officers' visits to Holland had been customary. There was nothing clandestine in it. They arrived in full view, and their job was to secure the computer servers used at the Russian embassy. And they weren't trying to hide anything from anyone. They were checked into a hotel. They paid a visit to the embassy. If they'd actually been engaged in espionage, there would have been more precautions. And they were basically detained by Dutch police without any reason or explanations, and were not allowed to contact the embassy. This is just more Russia bashing getting out of control. Now, if you are using the Safari browser, and if you're on an Apple device, it's almost certain that you are, you've probably noticed that Google is your default search engine. Apparently, Google pays Apple a lot of money to be the default search engine on Safari. Apparently, $9 billion with a B. And over the next year, it could grow up to $12 billion. Now, of course, the reason for that is that the search engines are tracking you. They're gathering marketing data, which in turn is sold to marketing companies for a profit. And right now, Google commands the lion's share of browser traffic. So that's where that is. I noticed the last time I fired up Internet Explorer on this machine, it got a pop-up ad. Wouldn't you really rather be using Google? Well, I don't know. There's been a lot of talk lately about China's violation of intellectual property rights and theft of U.S. technology, and that is a problem. But they are not the only ones. A lot of other countries are trying to acquire our technology to just, you know, to plunder our innovation. And it turns out it's not just other countries, because there's a new documentary out called Bunch of Balloons. I'm sorry, the documentary, that was The Invention. But the documentary is about the U.S. patent system. And it basically tells the story of this family man, Josh Malone, and he came up with an invention that fills 100 water balloons in under a minute. And it was called Bunch of Balloons, and he started a Kickstarter page that raised close to $1 million to get the product perfected and rolling off the assembly lines. Now, he applied for a patent, and then all of a sudden, a large corporation had swooped in and stolen his idea before he could get it going. And the subsequent investigation showed how the patent system has become rigged against the solitary inventor and favors those who have money and power. And the patent system has had all these loopholes in it where the patent office can simply say, we have decided to withdraw your patent. And of course, once a patent is invalidated, somebody else comes on in, files a patent on the same thing, and they get it, usually a very large corporation. And this documentary has interviews with people like former Attorney General Ed Meese, Thomas Massie, who's a congressional representative and is an inventor himself, Antonin Scalia, obviously from before he died, law professor and IP expert Adam Mossoff. And they're basically saying how the system has just been completely corrupted against individual inventors. Individual inventors is what made, they're what made this country great. People like Edison. I mean, yes, Edison came up with the idea of turning inventing into a business, but he started out as just one guy working on a bench, making little devices that made his job as a telegrapher easier, and then working up eventually to things like the light bulb. Now, do you think he would have kept on doing that if the first invention he came up with, the patent office had said, we've decided to revoke your patent and give it to this very rich person over here? Edison would have probably said, well, I'm going to go do something else with my life here. All right, let's take a phone call from Don in Iowa. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, Mike. I just can't believe this deal with the Clintons. They're charging people money to go and listen to their wonderful conversations. I mean, she could not even, when she was running for president, she couldn't hardly draw flies. I mean, nobody would come to see her.
And I think this is going to be an epic fail.
750. up to $750 a ticket for these events. I just can't believe what kind of person would pay any money to go listen to them. I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, it just does not compute. I can't believe they're going to.
I think it reveals the amazing ego these two people have, where they're sitting there thinking all of America wants to come hear us. They all want to come see us. Let's charge them for it. I'm sure they'll get a few people who will show up, you know, just to be able to say, you know, I actually met a former president once in my life. But I don't think it's going to be a huge success.
They're running into, the Democrats are running into a lot of disappointments when Obama went out to California and he couldn't draw very many people. You know, he's supposed to be like a big rock star supposedly, but nobody wants to listen to them anymore. Everybody knows you're just full of bull. Okay, I'll let you go, Mike. Thanks.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Yeah, I think this is their ego. It's not like they need the money. They're very, very wealthy. They don't need the money. This is just, they want to stay in the public eye. This is all about ego. I think the price of the tickets are excessive. And by the second one of these, I'm sure the price of the tickets will have fallen down to, maybe $5. I have a story here, and it's a little weird. And it begs the question, exactly who are they recruiting for the police departments? Because over in Level Plains, Alabama, not an ordinary police officer, but the chief of police was arrested last week for jerking off in public in an elevator where young children were coming and going. And apparently he was also seen jerking off while walking down the beach behind various teen girls and then filming them shower. This is the chief of police, 44-year-old man. Billy Maurice Driggers was arrested at the police station and charged with 4 counts of disorderly conduct. Who vetted this guy? Who went on out and said, this is somebody we should have as our chief of police? Now, the other day we were talking about the vaccine debate that's raging on and how a lot of vaccines are not safe. So basically, I did a flashback story, and this literally came out from the World Health Organization and the United States admitting that an outbreak of polio in Syria was caused by the polio vaccine. This happened back in 2017. And again, the issue is with the attenuated pathogen vaccines, where the theory is they take the polio virus, they slap the heck out of it, they knock it silly, then they put it in the syringe with a bunch of things to annoy your body to produce the immune response. But there have been previous cases where attenuated pathogens, once they're in the body, revert to full potency. And here we have the United Nations, the World Health Organization, saying, yeah, it does happen. The polio vaccination campaign caused an outbreak of polio. Not getting near me with that needle here. Now, apparently, the United States Supreme Court has rejected appeals of this opinion striking down an Obama-era global warming rule. And the ruling had to do with hydrofluorocarbons, which is a greenhouse gas. And the ruling they struck down was actually written by Brett Kavanaugh. And apparently, the Supreme Court has made the decision to not rehear the case before Kavanaugh joins the court. Well, apparently, he showed up today, and he's getting ready to hear some high-profile cases. Now, I mentioned this story a little bit earlier in the program. Out in California, there is a company called Iron Ox, and it's going to be America's first all-robot farm. and it replaces all the human workers with intelligent machines. And the stated goal is to improve labor shortages and pressure to produce crops by using artificial intelligence and heavy machinery. And they launched it last week, and they're hoping it's going to remake the industry. Apparently, there's actually a labor shortage on these farms, which is funny because all the open borders people were assuring us the illegal immigrants would help, be just happy to pick those crops. I guess not. Easier to sit home, collect welfare. So they're claiming this robot farm will grow 30 times more produce than traditional farms, which sounds really good if they can make it work. But the downside is they'll exhaust the soil that much sooner. And, of course, the question for me is going to be, is this farm producing regular organic natural crops or GMO? It's probably going to be GMO. There is now a new space race, and this space race is not to put the first man into space or the first woman into space, but the first paying passenger. And Richard Branson has announced that Virgin Galactic will be in space within weeks. Apparently, they've been keeping their progress very close to their chest, but they're saying that the first trip into space itself is tantalizingly close. And then he himself is planning to take the ride into space sometime in the coming months. And there is basically a race between Branson's Virgin Galactic and Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin to get those first fare-paying passengers into space. Now, Branson has been investing in space travel since 2004 and was initially expected to go to space himself before April of this year. But I guess they held off on that one. But I'll tell you, Rutan has designed some absolutely beautiful aircraft and spacecraft. They're aesthetically very pleasing here. So let's talk a little bit about human-caused global warming. The United Nations and the IPCC came out with the usual scary report saying that if we don't turn the climate around in 12 years, we're doomed, 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 doomed. And as I pointed out yesterday, we get these doomsayers every once in a while. Remember back in 2000, snowfalls are a thing of the past. Well, tell that to the people in the Upper Peninsula right now. So Jerry Brown is out there saying the world must radically change to totally renewable energy, which I think is not a bad idea. But the fear-mongering is not the best way to go about it. And there's also the other embarrassing fact that all of these liberals out there saying we've got to end petroleum, we've got to do this, they haven't come up with a working substitute. Solar cells are still very inefficient, although I'm glad to see people are using those. The windmills have turned out to be a repeat disaster. They're not holding up to the wear and tear. But just coming on out and fear-mongering isn't going to solve the problem. And I'll tell you how weird it gets. According to this story out of Investment Watch blog, the United Nations report on global warming is calling for a $240 per gallon tax on gas to discourage us all from driving around. Actually, it's going to keep us from getting to work or getting to school. We're going to become prisoners in our own house. Now, of course, Agenda 30 is all about getting us out of privately owned cars and onto public transportation. But so far, the push to have workable public transportation isn't doing very well. And we have a good example of that right here on the island of Oahu, where in this coming election, we actually have local candidates who are running on the issue of halting that train program. After all of its cost here, which means we'll all get to sit and look at those concrete tracks here for the rest of our lives. We're going to take a break for commercials. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443, and we'll be right back.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of FrontSight Firearms Training, and fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. So we're looking at this latest IPCC report coming out of the United Nations. And it's basically a document that is written to scare and shock. It's life or death. We're down to the last 12 years. We've got to do it now. And I think the desperation is obvious. We're going into a very early and what looks to be a very hard winter. And people have been hearing all of this stuff from the human-caused global warming people about snowfalls are a thing of the past and the world is warming. And they see winter after winter after winter, it's getting colder. And now even NASA has acknowledged that, yeah, their sensors are saying the Earth actually has cooled slightly. Now, we know that the sun is going into a period of reduced activity. The sun is not a constant. It operates in cycles. When you were in science class, you probably learned about the 11-year sunspot cycle and the 22-year magnetic cycle. And now scientists are starting to see indications of much longer cycles, three of which are going to overlap on the low end of the cycle in the coming decade. And this could lead to a new Maunder minimum. But the United Nations has basically bet their future global government on scaring you with global warming so that you will say, oh, yes, Mr. UN, you know, we'll stop using fossil fuel. We'll use ethanol in our car, even though it's wrecking the car. Just save us, save us, save us. I don't know that they're getting a lot of traction from this. And there's a lot of propaganda just coming right on out now. They're really cranking it up, and I think they're trying to beat the winter. Over at the Daily Mail, they had a headline story, for every degree the globe warms, 2% more people will have mental health issues, according to new research. Over at my ClimateGate section, I actually have a page, a list of everything that's been blamed on global warming. You know, more prostitution, less prostitution. And this one, again, jumps the shark. This was over at the Huffington Post on how ISIS is being helped by climate change. If you know, if you don't work to fight climate change, then you're obviously with ISIS. And, you know, global warming really stimulated the rise of the Islamic State. No, it didn't. It was U.S. money. It's amazing. Now, the other day, we were talking about how this database, which is the go-to database for global temperatures, had never, ever been audited. And when it was finally audited, and this was done as part of a PhD thesis, it was found to be just riddled with errors and outlandish data to the point where it was declared it's really useless for anything. You know, it looks good, but it's just not there. It's not accurate. And it turns out that this data set, the HADCRUT, is a collaboration of the Met Office's Hadley Center and the Climatic Research Unit at the University of East Anglia. And if you will remember, that Climate Research Unit at the University of East Anglia was where we had the ClimateGate leak, where somebody leaked out internal emails and computer code, source code, that showed when temperatures stopped rising in the late 1990s, they made the decision to fudge the data to keep the temperatures looking like they were going up, to keep pushing that agenda. And that's where the phrase hide the decline came from. And people just all over the world we're looking at all of this stuff about the global warming movement and realizing the data wasn't there. It was all just propaganda and fear-mongering. So, and they were doing ridiculous correlations, things that really didn't correlate with each other were being used to sell the idea of global warming. There's a story that came out here from the pastafarians.org. That's the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, basically saying that as the number of pirates in the world have decreased, global temperatures have gone up. And therefore, if we want to fight global warming and climate change, we need to bring back the pirates. Armady, we need to have the pirates come on back. And this is kind of the style of the Pastafarians. Because the whole idea of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, it was really a form of protest over some quasi-religious indoctrination that this man's daughter was going through at school. Apparently, they lived in a part of the country where the schools were allowed to basically enforce religious ideas. And this guy came on in and said, well, if you're going to say we have a place for Jesus here, well, then you have to have the Flying Spaghetti Monster. Anyway, we're going to take a break for commercials. We've got one caller waiting on the line. I could use a few more callers to get out of the show today, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And we're going to go ahead with a phone call from Mark in Montana. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Howdy, Michael. I actually work in the oil and gas industry. I'm a health, safety, environmental specialist in West Texas. I live in Montana. I fly down, do my time. I go home, you know, every couple of weeks. And I kind of wanted to address some of these crazy alternative energy guys. I got a friend of mine that does the same position that I do in the wind industry. He tells me it takes almost 45 years to recoup the amount of energy that it takes to build one windmill. Because the amount of energy that to build the carbon fiber blades, to transport them, they drive these things a couple hundred miles, the cement and all the aluminum and the carbon fibers, and it's not something that right now is viable. And the only reason that that industry has survived is the Obama administration and the Bush administrations dumped a lot of money for subsidies.
Subsidies.
Yeah, there were subsidies. And when the subsidies ran out, and there are places here in West Texas where they put these windmills up, when the subsidies ran out, they just quit building them. I mean, there's half-finished windmills sitting in a lot of places. And we similarly with the solar, and I do believe that there's a good use for solar on an individual basis, but not on a mass basis. If you put it on your home, I think you can get by really good with it. The problem with it on a mass basis is, again, the minerals and stuff that are used in it you know, comes from these places where people kill each other over diamonds. I mean, you know, I mean, it's almost like, you know, a bloody industry. And the amount of energy that it takes to mine some of that stuff is just, they'll never recoup it out of the solar cells. And it's, right now it's not viable. I, for one, would love to see the day that I can go to work and work on a windmill somewhere and not have to deal with the oil and gas industry. But it's right now in my lifetime, it's not going to happen. And on another note, I want to talk about ethanol, because I see that our president, and I like Trump, but he's pushing some ethanol subsidies again. Ethanol is one of those things that it's a zero energy loss. It takes 10 units of energy to produce 9 units of ethanol. So, yes. Again, we're losing energy on it, and we're taking land that we could be making food on and using it to convert to energy when the energy is right below the ground. And I will tell you a story. I had a friend that worked in North Africa, and he, in Chad specifically, and he specifically blames the ethanol boom for the Arab Spring in Chad, not all over, but in Chad, because the cost of food went, we had a drastic increase in the cost of food right around the time that the ethanol really started being mandated into the gasoline. And the food prices went so high that a lot of these third world countries that were spending half of their daily earnings on food could no longer, it was now 110% on food, and they could no longer afford it. And he specifically blames that on the ethanol industry and some of the crap that Bob Dole from Kansas pushed back in the day. So I just wanted to toss my 2 cents in on it. I'm not an expert. I just see the industry from the inside, and I really like to look at things objectively. And for now, we're stuck with it, guys. We're just going to have to embrace the oil and gas industry. I realize that my bosses are not exactly the nicest people on the face of the earth, but right now American society could not exist without it, or Western civilization couldn't exist without it.
Well, you're absolutely right about that, and there's also another factor in that, especially as we head into World War III, you can't run a warplane or a tank on solar cells. Oil really is the lifeblood of conventional warfare, which maybe it would be a blessing if it did run out. There are, of course, two competing theories about that, and one is that oil is being renewed by microbial activity deep in the crust.
Yeah.
The issue is that we humans are burning it up faster than those little microbes can generate it. As far as the windmills, when you start subsidizing something rather than insisting it stand on its own, you're going to be headed for disaster. I remember the crash of Solyndra, but we're going to make these solar cells, and that never worked out. These giant windmills, which, by the way, chop up birds. And because where do they put up the windmills? Where the wind is. Where are the birds? Riding the wind to save energy. And so there's been a big problem with bird strike on these units. But these windmills and turbines were supposed to last for 25 years, and they started failing after only 5. And in the case of one of the most popular turbines that were out there, the company producing them had gone out of business, so they can't even get spare parts anymore. Now, we've got a working wind farm up here on the north part of Oahu, but down on the Big Island, unless it got eaten by the volcano, there's the remains of an abandoned wind farm down there that just didn't work on out. I'm hoping they're going to be able to restart Hawaii's geothermal plant, because that would generate electricity. You know, everybody's all worried about, the environment here. But you're right. There is an environmental cost to producing solar cells. There's an environmental cost to producing the windmills. As far as ethanol is concerned, it sounded really good when it came on out. But it's not carbon neutral, because when you factor in the processing of the plant matter to produce the ethanol, it actually has its own carbon footprint. And because there is less chemical energy in ethanol than there is in gasoline, you have to buy and burn more of it to get the same amount of work out of your vehicle. And there is that issue, of course, that the ethanol is bad for the fuel system on older cars. And now they want to go to E15, ethanol gasoline. The instruction manual on my newer car says 10 at top. And there are actually car manufacturers out there, you know, major car manufacturers, who say in the warranty, if you put ethanol gasoline in this, the warranty on your engine is void. I mean, that's how serious the problem is.
I did an experiment a while back with some with ethanol, and it's very unscientific, but they gave me a Dodge that was an E85. So it could run on E85. I was working in North Dakota at the time, and I went ahead and ran it on. I ran it from where I was at to Williston, North Dakota, on regular E10, and you know, everything was neutral. Everything was good. The elevation was the same. There's, of course, been to North Dakota. There is no elevation. It's flat. And when I got up there, I filled up with the E85 because it was available in Williston, North Dakota. I don't know if it still is or not. And I filled up with that. And when I came back, I got 9 miles out of the gallon out of that truck. I was getting 20 with the regular gasoline. Now, I paid 20 cents a gallon less. But if you start figuring in the loss of mileage on it, I was paying more and getting and using more fuel consumption to get the same amount of mile, you know, the same amount of distance out of it. It's not what it's
to stop more at the fueling stations here,
right? And they bring up the point, well, Brazil uses it, but you know what, Brazil uses sugar cane to produce their ethanol, and they use manual labor and horses. So there is no energy loss producing the ethanol because it's I don't want to say slave labor, but, you know, it's manual labor. They're not using automation like we use here in the United States. So, I know people are really down on this industry, but you got to understand, from the roads that you drive on to the clothes that you wear to the plastics and stuff in your car to the filters for the kidney transplant people, it's all gasoline, it's all petroleum. We're going to have to deal with it for a while. I would love to see a substitute, but right now there's just nothing out there that can do it right now.
I'm not seeing anything on the horizon, and that's, you know, that's the big problem. You've got all these people standing up like Governor Jerry Brown and saying we must have alternative energy. What are you thinking, Jerry? We're going to drive a pipe down into the Yellowstone supervolcano and set up a geothermal plant for the United States there?
Right, and I think that we're going to have to face reality, and I'm not a fan of nuclear. I don't like nuclear. I don't want nuclear in my background or in my backyard. But, you know, with nuclear, it's decent if there's safeguards put in. I'm not sure I trust General Electric to be building my nuclear reactors after, you know, Fukushima, but I think there's a combination. One of the other things, I'll tell you right now, out here in West Texas, most of the natural gas is being burned off. We're just burning it right on the site.
Yeah.
They put up a big thing called a matchstick and burn it because people are so anti-pipeline, and the car companies will not put out the propane or the natural gas running vehicles, and it's just being wasted. It's a wasted energy resource. People need to be more friendly towards that stuff, you know? So anyhow, I just want to throw my 2 cents in, Michael, and I'm an avid listener, and I think tonight I'll go ahead and donate a little bit of money to you guys. I know you're running on an empty budget. So,
yeah, we are. Thank you very much for the donation and for the kind words. And, you know, we ought to look at fusion power. A lot of places are tantalizingly close to actually making it workable and practical. It doesn't have anywhere near the downside or toxic waste products of fission reactors or thorium cycle reactors. And if the U.S. government, instead of trying to invade all these other oil-producing nations, had invested that same money in thorium cycle reactors or fusion reactors, we would have a technology the rest of the world would be beating on our doors to buy. It's another example of short-sightedness. Okay, before we go back to the phones here, I just got an email. I'm reminded of an experiment years ago that put a little boy and a little girl in a room with a baby carriage. The girl took the baby doll out of the carriage and played with it. The boy turned the buggy upside down and started to take the wheels off. Boys will be boys and girls will be girls. Okay, Jeff in Michigan, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Wow, you know, I'm just like really I'm really upset with all this idiocy sweeping our country today. And, you know,
I agree.
Specifically the politicians and, you know, the mainstream media. You know, you listen to them, and then you listen to the alternative media. And it's like, well, what's the answer to this? Because there's insanity sweeping this country. What do you think the answer
is
to this?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I don't know if it's all the antidepressants that are out there. And we've reached a point now where there's so many antidepressants out there that even people who don't take antidepressants are being exposed to them through the drinking water.
Yeah, well, I'm not really so concerned about that because I drink the water. And it's just like this political stuff that's going on in this country. I mean, when will it be enough that you know, we put these people in their place before they totally destroy our country? When will it be enough?
I don't know, but again, I don't advocate a violent overthrow or a revolution.
Yeah, I understand that.
I still think it's tearing itself apart.
And legalities involved. Yeah, I understand that.
I think the government is tearing itself apart, and I think we got a window into that process during the Kavanaugh hearings. Anyway, listen, I'm going to let you go. All of a sudden, the phone lines are loaded up, and I'm going to try to get to everybody before the end of the program. So let's switch over to James in South Carolina.
Thank you so much. It was obviously too delicate a subject to converse with you.
Okay, James in South Carolina, are you there? Okay, James in South Carolina, are you there? I guess we lost him. All right, so let's switch over to Mateus
here.
In Canada.
Hello. I'm here.
Okay. Hello. There. All right, we got our phones sorted out here now.
I am James in South Carolina. Who are you?
Well, I'm the host of this radio show, Michael Rivero, and okay. All I can tell you is hunker down because you're about to get another big storm come over.
Okay. Now I'm looking at it coming now. I got a question. You're talking about automation, and that's a bad thing. I mean, it can be, but suppose automation heightens productivity, and instead of a 40-hour week, people start working 20-hour weeks or 30-hour weeks. And I think that's possible.
Well, if they're still getting the same money, okay, I mean, yeah. Automation working together with workers is a good thing. But when automation displaces workers, again, if people are not able to earn decent wages and salaries, they're not going to have the money to go into the stores and buy those products, regardless of whether they're made by humans or robots.
Well, but if the productivity increases, and it might with automation.
What good is productivity without consumption?
Well, if productivity increases, you can drop the number of hours that people work. More people can work.
You're not hearing me. You're not hearing me. What good is increasing productivity if consumption is not increasing alongside it?
Well, what I'm saying is, if you increase productivity, you will make enough so that people will buy. It will be cheaper. Things will be cheaper. People will be able to afford them. You can drop the number of hours, and more people can work. Now, ultimately, I suppose the ultimate goal of automation is to do away with all work. I don't know.
If you take it to that extreme,
it does seem to me possible that everybody once worked, what, I don't know, 60 hours. You know, people on farms worked 14-hour days in the summertime and all like that. And now they don't. And it does seem to me that you can envision a technological situation in which people do not work as much and their productivity is high. If you have a situation with the printers, the 3D printers or something like that, at some point those such things will be around and people can make what they need. You can envision technological solutions so that adept people anyway can create what they need themselves, it seems to me.
Well,
I think these are all
there are all kinds of technological possibilities out there, and they're all very alluring. But we have to also weigh in the economic and sociologic impacts of bringing those technologies forward. There's lots of things that we can be doing or can do. We have to ask, should we do them? Is it really going to be better for the general population if we move forward in this direction? And again, I get back to that same thing. If ordinary people are not allowed to earn decent wages and salaries, they're not going to go into the shopping malls. They're not going to buy the products that are being made by the robots. And all that increased productivity is going to be totally meaningless because it's all going to wind up in a landfill. Look at all the shopping malls that have closed across the United States. Look at all the iconic retailers that have vanished or are in the process of vanishing. The economy is very much unbalanced. And you know, I love the idea of automation, working together with people, but we have to get people back to work. We have to find some way of creating a new industry of some kind that people are going to get involved with. Anyway, James, I got to let you go. We got to take a break.
Thank you,
commercial. All right. And I'm going to apologize right now. I'm probably not going to be able to get to all the callers waiting on the line, but we'll give it our best shot when we come back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment of our program today here, and I'm not going to be able to get to all the callers. Let's start with Mateus in Canada. Mateus, what's on your mind?
Okay, how about I just go through point form of some things and I'll hang up and we can discuss them some other time. True news,
okay.
is he's a Christian, but other than that, it sounds like your show. So great place, especially for someone of the faith. His take on the Kavanaugh is that it's largely about abortion. That the liberals are afraid when Kavanaugh gets in, there's a possibility of abortion laws being affected one day. And his take on abortion is that it's a blood sacrifice to Satan, basically, which makes me think of that satanic statue I called in about that does have the breasts on it and the animal head and feet, which is kind of the liberal agenda of transgender and this whole, like, mixing up the natural creation and, like, genetically modifying the organism. And then it makes me think of this, like, this Jewish tradition of circumcision and then sucking the blood with the mouth of the baby penis. Yeah. Is that some strange combination of a blood ritual and, like, pedophilia mixed together? And then I had an epiphany. I had an epiphany the other day that, wait a second, the church, it's like a gay club. It just all made sense all of a sudden because there's this, the gays were not allowed to be out of the closet in the past. And so they actually formed communities of secret acceptance inside the church. And then, unfortunately, there just seems to be like a bit of a higher rate of pedophilia with gay men than otherwise. And so that's why there's just an increased amount of pedophilia in the church. And the whole thing about not being allowed to marry, that's not because they want to marry. This is because they're gay. They don't want to marry. That's why it's never been updated.
The prohibition on marriage, the celibacy issue was all about money. Anyway, listen, Mateus, I'm going to let you go. We got one caller remaining. I'm going to try and get him on the air here. Let's switch over to Daniel in British Columbia. Aloha, Daniel. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I probably don't have time to go into my subjects here about the mortgage-backed securities, but I was going to add something about your global warming. The UN report,
yes,
that did make its way to the CBC here in Canada. It's all over the place, and it's to me it seems like the just in time for the election in the United States, the by-election. Scare these liberals into getting to the polls before, Trump ruins the world and all that. And there's one extra point that I learned from you. There was a report that a lot of these climate or temperature gauges were near airport runways right next to the exhaust nozzles of jets. So I thought I'd add that.
Yeah, well, I have that in my article on Climate Gate as well. And yeah, it's you're right. This may be timed to the midterm elections to try and grab global warming as an election issue because the Democrats don't have a whole heck of a lot else to run on. So
exactly.
Thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. And we should be coming up here on our closing music right about now. There it is. So please stay tuned for John Stadmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. And please take what you learn here. Share it with everybody that you know. Talk to them. Email them. Fax them if you need to. Social media is just totally worthless for anything except cute kitten videos. Please donate to Republic Broadcasting. Please donate to whatreallyhappened.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.